In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Grace and mercy are very scriptural terms, but there is a distinction between the two. Grace is undeserved love. That much we know. We are saved by grace through faith without any merit or work on our part. Undeserved love. Mercy seeks to alleviate suffering. It seeks to help those who are in a state of misery. So be merciful as your Father is merciful. Today, Jesus deals with mercy. We are to seek to alleviate the misery and suffering of others. Creation itself has a very miserable existence. All creation groans together in the pains of childbirth because we have subjected it to the curse of sin. The distant galaxies are not free from this curse, and neither are the tiniest creatures in the deepest depths. All of them decay, all die, all suffer in some way because of the sin that we have brought into this world. God's statement, "And it was very good," is nothing more than a distant memory of what we have now lost. So God seeks to alleviate the misery even of this world by giving food to the cattle, by giving dens and nests for the birds and the animals to protect them from their fellow creatures, from the weather, from storms. And the list goes on. Chiefly, God alleviates the misery of this world by sending his Son to die for man. For when our sin is taken away, then also the curse is removed. So the death of Christ is the answer to an unsettled climate, fearful animals, and a restless universe. If God shows such mercy to this world, how much more will he show mercy to us who bear his image and likeness? Our lives, too, are very often a miserable existence. God sees. He hears your groans and your sighs, and he knows how hard your life is, even though others, even your spouse, cannot fully understand. Even in a perfect world, Adam needed help. How much more we? If it was not good for him to be alone, it also is not good for us to try to go at it alone. None of us is able to take care of everything that needs to get done. We all have shortcomings. We all have limitations. And that's not sinful. It's just God has not made us to be able to do everything by ourselves. We need help. We're human. And so we can't do everything that is even on our schedule. We can't carry out everything that needs to get done for a family or a nation. We need help. An obvious one is men need women and women need men, if for no other reason than to fill the earth and subdue it, even as God has commanded. But it's so much more than that. Families are the basic building block of society, and when that family unit is destroyed, then nothing but misery will come. We try to claim that children are resilient and it's for their good, but it's not. It only increases their anxiety, their depression. We try to claim that it's better for our relationship and my own mental health, but again, it's not. Now, there are cases. But the vast majority only increase the misery and hardship of others and ourselves. We need families. But men also need other men, and women need other women. The young need the wisdom of the old, and the old need the zeal of the young. So more than food and drink and money and house and home, more than any material thing or success or experience you can have, we need relationships. That's at the top of our list. We need to work with other people for the good of one another because we can't do it all by ourselves. We all go to a store to shop. We need businessmen to create places to shop, to give us a place to eat and food to our table. We need farmers to grow the food, truck drivers to bring it to us, and everyone else who is involved. We need doctors to heal us. We need friends to encourage us, children to give us a smile, a spouse to give us a hug. We need the rich in order to provide an economy, and the poor so that we might show love. The list goes on and on. God does not alleviate our misery or our hardship by sending food from heaven or money on trees, but he alleviates our hardship through others, through their gifts and vocations. He gives us other people so that we may not have to do it all on our own. Their vocations and gifts even give us a little joy at times. So the same thing is also true of you. You are not here so that you can be served, but so that you might alleviate the misery and hardship of others. He has made you a parent because babies can't change their own diapers, and children cannot raise themselves. And by the way, he has made you a child to bring joy and honor and glory to your parents, not shame and dishonor. You are to help them even as they help you. And so our focus as we live in this life is not what they owe me in this relationship, not what I can get out of it, but what I owe you. If we all lived for one another, then not only would life be a little bit more bearable, but we also would have more joy. But for some reason, we like to dig ourselves into misery and hardship and feel sorry for ourselves as if we're a victim and no one else knows what we are going through. I can guarantee that we are not that unique. But as soon as we enter these relationships with others, we begin to realize that they are a sinner like me. And they often can cause more harm, even as I can. We forget the latter part. So it should not surprise us that workers are lazy, a spouse is selfish, a child is negligent, a government is overbearing, and that our neighbor has little to no concern about how their words and actions affect me. After all, we live as sinners. And they often make our lives far more difficult rather than easy. Of course, they didn't load the dishwasher. Because in the moment, they were concerned about what was fun and enjoyable for them and not the extra work we would have to do. Of course they cut us off because they wanted to be first and could care less about the anxiety that built in us or damaging our car. Of course they said something mean because they had a bad day and misery loves company. So what are we to do? With the measure you use, it will be measured back to you, Christ says. The words that you say apply equally to you. You are not to ignore the law of God and allow them to go headlong into sin and idolatry. You are to speak that law to them, clearly. But how? How would you like to be corrected by others? By them jumping down your throat? Or by them showing you love and gentleness as they correct? With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. You do not leave the speck in your brother's eye because those specks hurt and eventually lead to blindness. But remove that speck as one who has a log in his eye. That is, preach the law as one who is under the law. You know what it's like to hurt others. You know what it's like by your words and actions to make the life of others more difficult, especially those whom you love the most. But you also know what it's like to receive kindness and love from someone that you have offended. Forgive and love, even as your Father has forgiven you. So speak as one washed in the blood of Christ. Speak as one lost, but now found. Speak as the weak made strong. Speak as the self-absorbed, lazy, and defiant, and yet redeemed by Christ. God put them in your life so that you might be merciful to them. They need you. You have a family, so you can bless them. They need you, whether you are a child, whether you are a grown child living by yourself, or whether you have little ones underneath you. They need you. Fellow drivers also need your kindness. Co-workers need your assistance. Governments need your prayers and support. And when they sin against you, we are to forgive even as God has forgiven us. We know that two wrongs don't make a right, but how often we match their anger with our own, only to lead our lives and attitude deeper into misery and into hardship, only to increase their difficulty as well. So let us rather cultivate love. Let us rather cultivate patience in our life, so that not only may our lives be a little bit easier, but we may also have joy. Most of the time, what they do and say is not intentional. They had a bad day, and again, misery loves company. They had a hard, productive day, but just very taxing. So, of course, they're a bit burnt out and don't want to hear about the latest news. Lord, have mercy. And he does, through you. How blessed are you that you get to love them. Not demand anything from them, but that you get to show them the love of Christ. That you get to hug the child who scraped his knee. Load the dishwasher for your family. Feed your spouse a good meal. Smile at your neighbor. Wave at a stranger. Their lives are harder than you know, even as your life is harder than anyone else can know. Don't make it harder by jumping down their throats. Don't make it harder by responding in anger or complaining or grumbling. But respond in love and kindness, even as your Father does for you. Cultivate patience. Be quick to forgive and slow to anger. For the godly life that God desires for us does not come about by anger, but by love. How far short we've come. We're supposed to help, and yet we've often made the lives of others and ourselves harder, more miserable. So here we sit. And God doesn't jump down our throats, but he seeks to alleviate our burdens. Yes, he gives you family and friends that help you in your life out there. He gives you complete strangers, but he wants to give you something far more than simply 70 or 80 good years of life on this earth. So here you sit, desiring a far greater mercy than simply a sandwich. So here you sit, desiring the mercy that comes only from Christ. His death is your answer not only to your aches and pains and diseases and frailties, but also to your limitations and shortcomings. His death is the answer to this fallen world. Creation groans for the day of your redemption, when it will be set free from this bondage to decay. How much more should you groan and eagerly await the day of Christ's return, when you will be made glorified even as he is glorified? He is patient and gentle as he comes to speak through his minister that word of forgiveness once more. He is kind and loving as he holds before your eyes his very body that is the remedy for all of your frustrations and miseries. He is patient and kind yet again. And having forgiven you, he doesn't take away your vocation, your kids, your spouse, your work. We may think that he should and give them to someone who's more worthy, but he doesn't. He gives them back to you, so that you might be merciful even as he is. We're unworthy. We know it. Maybe that's the point. That we all live in his mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.